2016美国弘法行离寺贪法，慈城罗珠堪布讲授。更多课程请访问堪布官方网站www.慧灯之光.com。
我今天讲了上三百码给啥的，因为这个我祝你妈妈祝你去上当我的观众妈妈一起去上当祝你心机浪上上司我的爸妈是的我妈妈把这个的爸妈是的我妈妈把这个的爸妈是的我妈妈把这个的爸妈我妈妈把这个的爸妈是的我妈妈把这个的爸妈是的我妈妈把这个的爸妈是的我妈妈把这个的爸妈我妈妈把这个的爸妈是的我妈妈把这个的爸妈是的吉拉达江索拉达宾迪达索康达尼比萨布索纳当瓦邦达布索吉拉就当扎心别人扎的索拉中等点公布加火拉扬拉扬扎罗更高楼主正义正着你的南达拉斯比正义同格就是你记得格拉拉我们这刚达这比昨日马里门都等我的解释如昨跟拉夫吉大姐呀拉着姐呀他送这的人接着我们摸你接着着中在讲马里门在等我的那个这年中在拉着多年大将在平大中用的力造解决的我就照知道这你沿着道路门在人家我让样拉的的欧马拉巴扎拿的欧马拉巴扎拿的欧马拉巴扎拿的欧马拉巴扎Marabazanado, Marabazanado, 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 Marabazanado,过当当就上了当吧，不必那话记得说。鸟鸡钱包做的了，你没想送来马龙钱包，我家当把个人当我们战斗什么？东巴的鸡将老乡咋弄？
各位道友，大家下午好。
Good afternoon, everyone.
我们现在。开始讲今天的课。
And we are going to begin with this afternoon's teaching now.
那么我们今天的这个课就叫做离寺贪啊。
The title of this afternoon's teaching is Parting from the Four Attachments.
那我们今天讲的这个离寺贪就是一个萨迦牌的一个诀窍，一个非常好的一个修心的诀窍。
And this teaching, the parting from the four attachments, is a teaching or a practice from the Satya tradition.
虽然这个是萨迦牌的脚言，但是呢，这个在藏传佛教里面，整个的藏传佛教里面，这个离寺贪法是有非常高的地位。
Even though it is a Sakya teaching, within all of the schools of Tibetan Buddhism, this teaching is held in very high regard.
那这个离寺贪跟宗喀巴大师的三主要道的内容基本上都是一样的。
The content of this teaching and the three principal ways of the path of Tsongkhapa are essentially the same.
还有尼玛派的龙钦巴尊者的司法宝满论跟这个内容也是一样的，基本上都是差不多的。
And so as the four treasuries of the Dharma written by Longchenpa, the contents is very similar.
那么这个这个论离寺贪法这里面讲的这个观点是一个总结性的一个观点，虽然是字不多字不是很多，但是呢他把整个的佛教的精华就有一个很少很少的字表达出来，是一个总结性的一个 非常好的脚研。
So, this particular teaching is one that only has very few words, and yet it captures the essence of the entire path of practice. So it's a very condensed and very profound teaching.
那这个李斯贪啊，这里面讲了四个不同的贪心啊，让我们放下这个四个不同的贪心啊，但是这个贪心啊。能够放到多少多大的程度，这个我们根据自己的情况来决定。
So this teaching talks about parting from or letting go of the four attachments, but the extent to which we let go of or part from these attachments is one that we determine for ourselves as individuals.
啊，放下啊，放下。有很多不同的层次啊，我们有些人呢可以啊放下很多很多的贪心，嗯，然后我们一部分的人呢，可能啊没有办法放下这么多的贪心啊，然后我们更多的人呢，也可能是更就人在这个红尘当中，所以没有办法啊放的太多啊，但是呢，总的来说啊，我们作为一个学佛的人的话。那就是或多或少还是要放下一点点这些贪心啊，这样子的话，我们对我们的修心啊，对我们的现实的生活，还有对我们自己的心灵的健康啊，都有很大的帮助。
Letting go of or abandoning our attachments is something that has many different levels.Some people are able to abandon or let go of their greed to a rather large extent, whereas for others of us still leading our lives in our worldly existences, it is perhaps more difficult for us to do this. Nevertheless, as Buddhist practitioners, to a greater or lesser extent, it is necessary that we do abandon our greed and desires, and this is something that will not only have benefit for our practice, but also for our everyday lives as well.
啊，那么这个李斯贪啊，李斯贪的第一个就是说，如果我们啊贪现实啊，贪现实，现实就是这一辈子啊，就是不贪啊，就是不去想啊下一世再下一世，仅仅是现实生活，仅仅是这一世啊，叫做现实啊。如果贪啊贪欲。贪现世啊，贪就是欲望、眷恋、留恋啊，这样子的意思。贪主现世啊，如果我们贪主现世的话，那就是不是修行人啊，不是修行人。那第一句话的意思就是这样子啊，那我们。首先我们要了解一下第一句话，这第四坛里面呢，讲了些什么，然后呢，我们再进一步的去分析这第一句话的内容。
So the first of the parting from the four attachments, the first line is, if you are attached to this life, you are not a true spiritual practitioner. So with this line, the word attached refers to clinging or longing, being attached to, and this life refers to this worldly life, not thinking or giving thought to our next lives or future lives. So this is the first line of parting from the four attachments, and we will continue to analyze its meaning.
那我们作为一个佛教徒啊，作为一个佛教徒，作为一个佛教的修行人啊，那这样子的话，我们怎么样要求自己啊？我们以什么标准，用什么标准啊来要求自己啊？接下来我们要给大家解释啊，就是这个问题。
So as Buddhists or as Buddhist practitioners, what criteria do we hold ourselves up to? This is what we will go on to talk about now.
首先啊，第一个我们要啊了解一下这个问题。有些人说啊，佛教啊，它不求现实啊，它不管现实，它只求来时啊。佛很多人，这是很多很多人的想法。佛教是求来时的啊，但是实际上呢，佛教啊，它不是啊求来时，他不是求来世，这个我们有一本书啊，叫做《中观四白论》啊，这里面讲得非常清楚。除了这个《中观四白论》以外，很多的佛经里面也讲过这个啊。佛教他所追求的是不是仅仅是来世呢？啊，不是啊，佛教追求的不是来世啊。
Many people say that Buddhism is not concerned with this present life and is only concerned with future lives or the pursuit of positive future lives. But this is in fact not the case. It says very clearly in the 400 Madhyamaka verses, as well as in many other sutras and scriptures as well, that Buddhism is not simply concerned with future lives at all.
好，然后我们一部分的人呢，就把佛教就当作一个我们现实生活的调味品啊，理论上我们好像没有一个人认为佛教是只求现世啊，可能没有人这么去想啊。但是呢，在实际的这个行动的过程当中呢，啊，就很多我们佛教徒也是这样子，把佛教啊用来作为一个生活的调味品，比如说啊，我们这个为了发财啊，为了这个健康，为了长寿，就到寺庙去烧香拜佛，然后我们去参加很多很多的法会，比如说我们藏传佛教也有很多很多的法会，然后汉传佛教也是一样，也有很多很多的消灾延寿这样子的法会特别的多。然后呢，我们经常就有很多很多的人呢，特别的喜欢去参加这样子的这个活动。那我们为什么这么喜欢参加这些活动呢？因为我们觉得如果我参加了这个活动啊，那我可以健康，我可以长寿，我可以工作顺利啊，然后就是我可以发财啊，那就是一个这样子的想法，就特别喜欢参加这些活动。然后呢，不去学习，不去修心，不去打坐啊，这些东西都就文思修这方面呢，就不感兴趣啊。然后呢，仅仅是求现世啊，也有在佛教徒当中呢，也有一部分人是这样子。
There are others still who use Buddhism primarily as a way to bring about benefits in their mundane lives. So, even though we just said that many are of the view that Buddhism is not concerned with this present life, in actual fact, many people turn to Buddhism to assist them with achieving prosperity, health, long life, etc. They very much enjoy attending different Dharma assemblies and prayer festivals, whether they be for purposes of prosperity, of long life, of avoiding adversity and ill fortune and so on. Fact is that many people are very, very much enjoy attending these festivals and assemblies, but are not interested in the study of the Dharma or practicing meditation.
好，那这样子的学佛的方法也是不对的啊！就我们只管现世啊，然后呢，不去考虑来世啊，然后这样子的话呢，也不是正确的学佛的方法这两个都是不对的那么佛教它既不是 求来时，也不是求先世。那么到底佛教在追求什么呢？
So, this isn't a proper approach either to being a Buddhist or going about Buddhist practice. So, it's not a good approach if we are only concerned with this mundane life. At the same time, too, it is not a good approach if we are only concerned with our future lives. So, if neither of these is a particularly good or valid approach, then what is a proper approach we should take to Buddhist practice?
佛教的追求啊，不是以时间来分来世和这个现世啊，不是这样子分。嗯，那佛教到底它追求什么呢？就追求两个字啊，大家要记住，佛教就追求两个字。嗯，那两个字是什么呢？智和悲啊，智就是智慧啊，悲就是慈悲心啊。佛教就追求慈悲心和这个智慧啊，它不是求善来世呀、现世呀，不能这样子。这个是一个不太啊正确的一个表达的方法。所以呢，我们应该说佛教啊，尤其是大乘佛教。就追求两个字，一个是智慧，一个是慈悲。
So, if Buddhism isn't primarily concerned with pursuing mundane benefits in this life or benefits in our future lives, then we can ask the question what it is primarily pursued with, and it is primarily two things that Buddhists or Buddhism strives for, and these two things or these two words are wisdom and compassion. These are the only things that Buddhism is primarily concerned with achieving or cultivating, and particularly so in the Mahayana teachings.
好，那这样子我们学佛的时候啊，我们学佛的时候呢，就是我们就知道啊，应该去追求什么？嗯，智慧和慈悲啊，现实当中我们也要在这一辈子，我们也要去追求智慧和慈悲，然后下一世也要追求啊，这个慈悲和这个智慧啊，这两个，这个并不是说我们只在乎现实，或者是只在乎来世啊，都不是。佛教就是追求智慧和这个慈悲。嗯，那为什么这样子呢？因为智慧和慈悲啊，如果有这两个啊，我们有了很好的智慧，我们有了很好的慈悲心，那这样子的话，我们可以自利利他，我们可以帮助自己，也可以帮助别人。嗯，所以大乘佛教啊，大乘佛教它的核心啊，它的核心的思想啊，它的核心的价值观啊，就是这样，就是要追求智慧和慈悲。他认为智慧和慈悲可以解决所有的问题。
So the cultivation of these two things, wisdom and compassion, is not something that we are simply concerned with doing in this life. Of course, we are concerned with doing it in this life. We're also concerned with cultivating wisdom and compassion in future lives too. So with our focus on wisdom and compassion, we can say that our focus is neither primarily this life or the next life. Rather, our focus is on cultivating these qualities of wisdom and compassion. And the reason that the focus is on the cultivation of these two things is that if we are able to cultivate them, then we will truly be able to benefit self and other. And this is the core value of the Mahayana path, the Mahayana teachings, the cultivation of these two things, wisdom and compassion. The reason for this being that with these two qualities cultivated strongly, it is possible for us to address all of our problems.
好，这样子的话，我们这个李斯坦当中的第一个啊，第一句话，我们可以这样子理解啊，就是让我们啊不要贪着任何现实的东西，这个可能是不太可能了。 那这个不可能，让我们不要去贪着啊，现实的，这个一切，那一切啊，工作、家庭等等，啊，这个让我们放下这一切是不太可能。所以我们啊，可以这样子理解，就是我们不能只贪着啊现实啊，比如说有些人呢，他只在乎现实啊，乃是就是未来的这些长远的这些。啊，这个路我们平时都不去在乎，只管现世啊，根本就不考虑来世，根本就不考虑这个什么智慧慈悲啊，只考虑现在的这个，更多的就是物质主义者啊，就是更多的就是考虑的是金钱啊，那这样子的话，我们的路就很短啊。为什么呢？因为我们现世人的现世，那再多再长也就是100年左右啊。那么这个100年当中呢，我们基本上啊，大多数的人都已经啊度过了啊1/3、1/3这样子的时间，那剩下来的时间也不多。那如果我们只懂得追求这一世的话，那我们只能追求啊，我们只能追求眼前的一个很小很小的一件事情啊，然后很多长远的这个啊，这些非常有用的啊，这些我们都没有办法去追求。所以呢啊，如果我们只考虑现实啊，其他乃是什么智慧啊，这个慈悲什么都不考虑的话，那就是几乎啊没有办法作为一个佛教徒，没有办法作为一个佛教的修行人啊。所以我们要把我们的眼光啊要放远一点啊，要看一看来世啊，我们把来世也要考虑进去啊，也要考虑进去，不仅仅是来世，我们不是只求来世，现世啊慈悲智慧现世也需要，来世也需要。但是呢，比如说我们很多不学佛的人啊，那么他就只在乎现实啊，来世根本不考虑，那这样子是不对的。我们把来世啊也要考虑进去啊，这样子就可以。这是第一句话。
So it's possible for us to understand this first of the partings from the four attachments to mean that it's perhaps a little difficult if we understand it to be requiring us to give up our attachments to everything in our worldly lives, including our families, our work, etc. So we can therefore understand it as saying that in addition to our mundane life or our worldly lives, we should have higher pursuits, or we should care about higher goals in addition to these. That is, we shouldn't simply just be attached to this life and not give a thought about our future lives or about more long-range goals such as the cultivation of wisdom and the cultivation of compassion. If we are only concerned with short-term benefit and short-term goals such as making money and improving our material situation, this is an extremely short path for us. It's an extremely short period of life that we really have in our range. A human life at maximum is 100 years, and all of us here have probably already passed 1/3 or 2/3 of it. So if in fact we're only concerned with this lifetime, then the period of time that we are looking at is one that is extremely limited in scope. And for this reason, the kinds of things that we can channel our energies towards are also quite small and limited as well. With this particular outlook, it's not possible for us to pursue long-term goals. So it's for this reason, and if this is the case, if we're not concerned with wisdom, compassion, the cultivation of these things, or our lives beyond this one, then it is virtually impossible to be a Buddhist practitioner. So for this reason, it is necessary for us to set our vision in a more long-range way to accommodate lives beyond this one. and incorporate this or have this long-term vision in addition to our current worldly life that we are invested in.
好，然后啊，然后我们说，我们不能只贪足现实，眼光要放到这个来世啊。就讲到这里的时候呢，我们可能有一部分的人啊，就是怀疑那到底这个来世啊存不存在啊，有没有来世？到底有没有来世啊？有很多人有这样子的疑问啊，甚至是觉得没有来世啊，没有来世。比如说我们啊，用佛教的智慧，用佛教的慈悲啊，让我们做一个好人啊，让我们在这一辈子这一生啊过得稍微好一点啊，就不要去害人啊，我们就把自己的事情做好，然后尽量的去帮助别人啊，这一点我可以接受。但是呢，如果你说要让我去聊啊，去考虑来世啊，这个我不能接受。为什么呢？就是我不认为啊有来世。就说这样子的话的，或者是不说，心里就是这么想的人啊，非常的多啊，非常多。这个可以理解啊。为什么可以理解呢？因为我们还目前很多人还不知道啊，人到底有没有来世，没有去深入的去思考这个问题啊，所以呢，很多人是不知道的。
So in saying that we should set our sights a bit further into the long term and not simply be concerned with this existence, some people might wonder about this question of future lives. That is, do future lives in fact really exist? Many people might feel that in terms of Buddhist teachings, they can accept the part that advises, that encourages them to be a good person, not harming others, and doing their best to help others, etc., in this lifetime. However, with the mention of future lifetimes, this is something that many people find difficult to accept. Maybe they might not say this, but they very likely think this. And this is probably something that a lot of people think. And we can understand this doubt about the existence of future lives, given the fact that this is something that not many people have really given a great deal of thought to, whether or not they in fact do exist.
我们有相当一部分的人就觉得人没有来世啊，过完这一生啊，一切都结束了，没有来世。那么他们为什么这么认为呢？这个他们的理由是什么呢？没有别的理由啊，没有别的理由，到今天为止没有其他的理由，就是因为我们没有看到啊，我们看不到我们的生命，我们只能看到往前面的几十年啊，也可以预测到未来的这个几十年。除了这个以外啊，除了这个中间的这个一个阶段以外呢啊，我们看不到，所以我们就觉得啊，所以我们觉得这个人是没有来世的。但是啊，这种想法啊，这种想法是不是啊，不是正确的啊？那为什么这么说？这种错误啊，这样子的错误，人类在历史上犯了很多很多这样子的错误啊，曾经犯过很多很多这样子的错误啊。那么这些错误的观念呢，我们慢慢慢慢逐步逐步的就知道啊，原来这是错的啊，原来是错的。比如说，我们举一个例子啊，就是人类这么几万年啊，或者是几十万年、几百万年当中，我们一直都认为啊，这个地球啊，它不是一个球体，不是一个球心啊，地是一个平面的，宇宙啊是平面的，然后我们的这个地球也是一个平面的啊，它不是一个球心的。 人有这样子的观念啊，我们每个人都有这样子的观念，嗯，啊，那么我们现在啊，大家都知道不是这样子啊，现在大家都知道地球不是这样子，但是呢，过去一直都这么认为啊，那这是为什么呢？
Many people, a great many people, believe that in future or future lives do not exist, that after this lifetime of ours passes, that it finishes, everything finishes. Why? What is the reason that many people do not believe in future lives? Well, there is really no other reason except that people...not being able to see beyond this lifetime or not being able to see beyond the several decades ahead of them that they can project insofar as this lifetime, feel that at the end of it, everything must end. And on this basis, they believe that future lives are not something that do exist. This way of thinking is in fact not correct, though. Many similar kinds of mistaken or erroneous thinking have taken place in the course of human history. And these mistaken ways of thinking, in many cases, were gradually discovered to be incorrect. One example, of course, would be the belief that the world was flat, not spherical. This belief was held widely by humans in the world for many tens of thousands of years, and this was a very pervasive belief.
啊，我们一个身高一米七的人啊，身高一米七啊，一米六到一米七的人。在海面上啊，或者是在一个很平的这个平原啊，那就往前看，往前看的话，可以看到，4628米，那4628米，也就是4.6公里啊，这样子，那这个他可以看得到这他可以看得到这个范围，也就是说，他的地平线，他看到的地平线。在他离他的4628米处，然后超过了这个以后，这个以外的这个范围呢，他看不见。为什么看不见？因为地球它是球形的，所以在更远的这个地平线就在他的这个视线的下面，所以他看到的这个地平线的下面，所以他看不到。所以呢，他往前看也就只能看到这个4.6公里，往后看的话也就看到这么远，往左往右都看这么远超过的他看不到。然后呢，就他看到的地方在他看到的这个范围当中，地面第一就是一个平面的我们只能看到这个平面的，因为我们的眼睛就只能看到4.6公里，然后在后更远的地方的这个球星它看不到，因为这球星的地平线已经在它看到的这个地平线的下面所以它看不到。那它看到的地方呢往前往后往左往右往那边看都是平面的，都是平面的没有看到一个球星球体的，所以他们认为地是平面的然后呢，他们下结论地球还不叫地球，地就是平面的自古以来一直都是这么认为唯一的一个理由是什么呢？就他看到的这个范围当中是平面没有看到的后面最后是什么样子他也不知道。如果他再往前走再往前走4公里的话，那他看到的这个前面的4公里也是平面的如果再往后走10多公里的话，那么再往后看也是反正永远都是一样，但在他看到的这个范围就是4.6公里，永远都是这样。那么这看到的这个地方呢，永远都是平面的所以他就下结论这个地球 是平面的啊，地球是平面的，一直都是有一个这样子的这个错误的这个啊想法。那么现在啊，我们看到了这个地球的全景图啊，地球的全部的这个图以后呢，人们啊就才发现啊，原来我们的想法是错的，不是这样。我们只看到以前我们只看到啊这一部分，我们没有看到它的全貌，所以啊，我们有了一个这样子的错误的想法啊，就跟这个。跟我们刚才讲的这个人，我们人为没有前世没有后世，哦，这个是完全是一回事，同样就是一个错误的想法。
So this previously very pervasive belief that the world was flat was due to the fact that a person of 1.6 or 1.7 meters in height standing anywhere. Or at any place on a flat surface of the earth can only see in front of them a distance of 4.6 kilometers. Their horizon or the horizon appears to them 4.6 kilometers in front of them, and anything that is beyond this they can't see. The reason for this is that the earth is spherical, and so anything beyond this horizon point actually falls under the horizon. So whether a person looks in front of them or behind them or to the left and right, they can only see a distance of 4.6 kilometers. And within this field of vision, the earth indeed appears to be flat. So based on this, humans for a very long time drew the conclusion that the earth was flat. The only reason, of course, being that as far as they could see, the earth appeared to be flat. As we said, in every direction, all they could see was the flat earth, and so therefore they drew the opinion, they drew the conclusion that the earth was like this. This was, as we understand now, a mistaken understanding. It's possible for us now to see pictures and photographs and rendering of the earth, and we know that it is spherical in nature. And we are able to appreciate that this previous belief was mistaken. But this kind of mistaken understanding about the surface of the earth is just the same as the mistaken approach that we take to the issue of future lives. The logic or the mistaken logic in both cases is identical.
这两个错误的观念为什么是一样的呢？我们刚刚讲了，他们为什么认为地球是平面的，就是因为他没有看到球形的，他看到都是是平面，所以这么下结论啊。然后同样我们说，人只有来只现实啊，没有前世没有后世，这样子下结论，那也是这个理由也是一模一样的。那他看到的，他往前看的话，他往后看的话，比如说一个人40岁了那么他往后看那就他可以看到他的这个40年人生，40年的这个人生的经历。然后再往前看的话，往前看就是未来，那他也可以预测他的未来的多少多少年，最多也就是再往前也就是40-50年那么除了这个以外这么一个往前的40-50年，往后的40-50年以外他就看不到看不到，所以他开始下结论往后没有了，往后往前也没有那这个跟我们刚刚讲的这个古代的人认为地球是平面的这个理由完全是一样的完全一样。类似的这个错误的观念我们翻过很多很多除了这个以外还有很多，比如说我们认为我们是宇宙的中心，所有的天体所有的日月等等都就为我们围绕在我们的周围围绕一直都是这么认为的。为什么这么认为呢？理由非常的简单也就是 我们啊，每一天太阳、月亮、所有的星星，就是从东边出、西边落啊，就拼这一点，然后我们相信哦、啊，这个所有的啊日月天梯围绕我们转动啊，围绕我们转动啊，我们不知道啊。太阳从东边升起，实际上就是地平线的下降，但是我们没有不知道是地平线的下降，我们认为太阳啊从东边升起，然后从西边落，实际上就是地平线的上升，但是我们不知道是地平线的上升，我们以为太阳从西边落了啊，就这么一个简单的一个视觉上的错误，然后就是这么几万年、几百万年。人类历史上所有的书籍都这么记载的啊，那么这些错误非常非常的简单的一些错误啊，当时没有，当时条件不具备，条件不具备，所以呢就产生了这样子的这个错误啊。那当时因为很多很多的这个思维啊，思维的方式是不对的，思维的方式是错误的，然后我们的这个文化当中呢也没有一个太多的这个东西给我们提供这些信息啊，所以人有这样子的这个产生了这样子的错觉。那么认为前世后世不存在的这种想法呢也是这样子啊，也是这样子啊，实际上就这么简单，这些都是同样的错误。
So why is the mistaken logic in both of these cases identical? Well, in terms of the claim that there are no past or future lives, we can understand this as from the point of view of someone who is 40 years of age, looking back, reflecting on the 40 years of life that they have experienced to date. They are able to recall their experiences over these 40 years. And then they, looking towards the future, they're able to project the future experiences of their life covering a period of a maximum of 40 or 50 years. So beyond these two extremes, the 40 years prior, before, and the 40 years ahead of them, they're not able to see any further than this in either direction. And based on this, they draw the conclusion that beyond these two points, there is nothing. And this is exactly the same kind of reasoning that lay behind the idea that the Earth was flat. And there are many similar examples in human history as well. Another example would be the belief that the Earth was the center of the universe and that the planets and Earth and Sun and so forth orbited around the Earth. The reason that people were of the view that this was the case was because, in terms of appearances at any rate, the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west. People were not aware that in both cases it was simply a case of the horizon descending and ascending. However, due to this mistaken or confused perception and a lack of proper knowledge conditions at the time, everybody believed this to be true. And it's the same with past and future lives and people's lack of belief in the possibility of their existence. It is based on the same mistaken logic.
好，这样子我们的这个眼光啊，不要那么狭窄，不要那么短啊。眼光就是要放远一点，也就是说来时未来也可以要纳入我们的这个人生的这个计划当中啊，我们只有这一世现世的计划，然后没有来世的计划，这样子的话这种人生观啊，这个人生观确实是一个非常小极啊，非常的小极，非常的悲观啊，那就不就人就这么几十年过去了以后呢，不就什么都没有了吗？所有的奋斗，所有的一切都不存在了啊。那这样子的话，我们人很多人都年龄稍微大了以后呢，就根本就不知道要去做什么，很多人都只能这样子等死啊，没有什么新的希望，没有什么追求。所以这种人生观确实是一个非常消极啊，非常这个悲观的一个人生观啊。 那我们学佛的时候呢，我们要把这个眼光要放远一点。人老了但是呢，同样也可以做很多很多事情，同样也可以学习同样也可以追求其他的，比如说这一世当中没有什么可以追求，但是呢也有来世，也有更长远的这个追求，更长远的希望。所以这样子的话这种人生这种人生观确实是一个可以说是一个很积极很乐观这一个这样子的人生观。那首先我们要建立一个这样子的人生观，这个就是我们学佛的第一步这个是相当重要的。
So for this reason, it's necessary for us to set our sights further in a more long-term or long-range or wide-reaching way. We shouldn't have our sights simply fixed on the short term. If we only essentially plan for this life and don't factor into our overall life plan our next lives, then this is essentially very negative, limited, rather pessimistic life view. That is one where we feel that beyond this life, everything ceases to exist. Everything that we've worked hard for, everything we've done essentially comes to nothing at the end of this life. For many older people who subscribe to this view, then in reaching old age, they feel that there is really nothing left for them to work for. All they can do is wait for death. And this life view, as said, is an extremely negative and pessimistic kind of one. In actual fact, if we take a more long-range or wide-reaching view, we can appreciate that when a person is old, they may indeed be aged, but there in fact is still many things that they can do. And even if they are not things that are relevant or related to this lifetime, they can have pursuits that relate to more long-range hopes and more long-range goals too. So this is a very positive, optimistic life view, and establishing this positive, optimistic, long-range, wide-ranging life view is in fact the first stage of Buddhist practice.
好，这是第一个这个就是我们今天讲的这个利斯坦当中的第一个，就是我们不能自在乎现实，不能自谈足这个现实我们的眼光要放远一点这是第一个意思。然后第二个呢第二句话就是讲，如果我们谈主这个轮回谈主轮回的话这个就不叫出离心谈主轮回就不叫出离心第二句话就是这个。那么出离心出离心是什么呢？出离心就是追求解脱的这种心源这种动机叫做出离心那么我们人有很多很多的选择，人有很多的选择。那么现在我们的前面我们的面前有两个选择，那两个选择大体上讲有两个选择。一个选择是什么呢？我们这个修行学习，然后呢解脱彻底的摆脱生死轮回这是一个这是一个选择。然后另外的一个选择另外一个选择呢，我现在是不考虑我要解脱，我要这个了脱生死我暂时不考虑那我只考虑我现在的这个生活和来世的这个生活我希望我有一个幸福的生活这样子我就满足了，我其他的生老病死这些我可以接受我可以接受，那我有一个幸福的生活这样就可以。我如果生生死死刚才我们已经讲过了，我们眼光已经 放得比较远了啊。那这样子以后呢，我们的这个考虑这个计划当中呢，也多了一个，就是来世未来。那这样子，我们就希望啊，我来世未来也是啊，拥有一个幸福的生活。好，这样子我就满足了，我没有别的追求啊。那这样子的话，这也是一种选择啊。在佛教里面，这叫做什么呢？这叫做人天成啊，人天成。大乘佛教、小乘佛教、人天成佛教啊，三个佛教，三个不同的佛教。那这个人天成佛教，它的结果是什么呢？如果我们啊学人天成佛教啊，那这样子，我们这一生当中呢，也有一个稍微比较幸福的生活，然后下一世呢，也有啊这个轮回当中的这个幸福的生活，下一世也可以有的。那但是呢，轮回当中的这个幸福，所谓的幸福里面有很多很多的不幸福啊，所有的幸福啊，轮回当中也有幸福，也有快乐，但是呢，很短暂啊，特别的短暂。就在我们的一生当中啊，就是真正的我们认为是幸福快乐的这样子的时光不是很多啊。这个我们不需要去听谁说啊，人生当中有幸福还是没有幸福，就根据我们自己的经验啊，让我们回顾一下我们啊这么多年的这么长时间的人生的经验啊，那我们认为什么时候是我最幸福的，什么时候是我最快乐的啊，然后每一年每一个月每一天我开心的幸福快乐的时间有多长时间，然后我不开心不快乐有压力啊，有这个很郁闷这样子的时间有多少啊，然后呢我既不快乐也不郁闷，比如说我们深度的睡眠不做噩梦啊，深度睡眠的时候呢，那我也没有幸福感也没有痛苦啊，那这样子的时间有多少，这样子啊计算一下啊，这样子我们会发现啊，虽然我的生活当中有一些幸福和快乐啊，但是不多啊，我们会每一个人基本上都是这样子啊，所以啊，但是呢，我们就这一点点的，就有一点点的这个幸福和快乐，我们看得特别特别的重啊，就这么一点点的幸福和快乐，我们可以付出很多很多，比如说我们啊，为了活得像芝麻这么小的这个快乐、幸福、快乐，我们愿意付出像西瓜那么大的代价。啊，这个我们愿意的人就是这样子啊。那如果愿意的话呢，那可以走这条路，这叫做这个人天成。那如果不愿意啊，如果我不再轮回了，我不愿意再轮回，我要解脱，那这样子，那我们就需要出离心啊，需要出离心。那出离心是什么呢？出离心就是不贪着这个。轮回啊，不贪着轮回，不眷恋，我要从这个轮回当中解脱啊，有这样子的决心，叫做出离心。
So the second of the parting from the four attachments is if you are attached to samsara or if you are attached to the world of existence, you do not have renunciation. So what is it here that we mean by renunciation? Well, renunciation is the aspiration or the resolve to achieve liberation. And as humans, we actually have many choices. And in relation to our Buddhist practice, primarily two choices. The first choice is to study, to practice, to strive for liberation, to strive to eliminate and be free from the sufferings of cyclic existence. This is the first choice that we can make as practitioners. The second choice is one where we decide for the time being at any rate, not to pursue liberation from cyclic existence. This is a choice where we are content to enjoy happiness in our present and future lives. And in having a relatively happy existence in present and future lives, we feel quite satisfied. And in making this choice, we are willing to accept the other sufferings that go along with cyclic existence. So this is a choice that, as we just discussed, has a more long-range view. That is, it isn't just focused on this life. It also takes into account future lives. However, it is not one where we pursue or strive for liberation. And this is a choice that is available in the Buddhist tradition. It is referred to as the worldly vehicle or the vehicle of humans and gods. And we primarily speak about three vehicles or three motivations of Buddhist practice, scopes of motivation, the scope of motivation of the worldly vehicle, the scope of motivation of the basic vehicle, and the scope of motivation of the Mahayana. So if we make the choice, if we choose for make a choice corresponding with the worldly vehicle, then we opt for a happy life or a reasonably happy life, but a happy life in samsara. And we need to know that this happiness, the so-called happiness in samsara, is in actual fact very fleeting in nature, and that even though there are moments of happiness, certainly, they aren't very great or aren't very plentiful, aren't very frequent in nature. And this is not something that we need to believe. We need to believe outright. We need to rely on what others tell us about the nature of happiness in our lives. It's something that we can verify for ourselves by reflecting on the nature of happiness in our own lives. That is, we can look back over our lives and we can really call to mind, when was it that I was most happy? How many times have I been really happy? Every year, how much of my year is spent in happiness? How much of my year is spent in pressure, unhappiness, anxiety, etc.? With the exception of the time that I spend sleeping, that is, not experiencing strong happiness or suffering, then what remainder of my time is really happy? And in reflecting on our lives and our own experience in this way, we can see clearly that in actual fact, real happiness, moments of real happiness, are not very many, and this is something that everybody can perceive. Nevertheless, we do tend to cling very strongly and to place a great deal of importance on these very small grains of happiness that we experience. You might say that for happiness the size of a sesame seed, that we are willing to endure the cost the size of a watermelon. Of course, we are willing to make this kind of sacrifice or to endure this kind of expenditure, then we can follow the approach of the worldly vehicle. However, if we're not willing to do so, if we are intent on striving for liberation, then it is necessary that we cultivate renunciation. It's necessary that we not be attached to cyclic existence, and the resolve to transcend this cycling existence and its sufferings is what we refer to as renunciation.
作为一个学佛的人来说，真的是非常非常的重要。我们在东方、西方都很多地方都是这样子，绝大多数的佛教徒自以为是在学佛，自以为是一个修行人，但是我们最起码的一些这个佛教的常识，我们都不了解。 因为我们不了解这些常识，所以我们根本就不知道什么叫做学佛。我们以为到寺庙去烧香拜佛，然后就是我们的生活上遇到一些挫折的时候呢，然后我们去求佛，求佛祖的这个包佑。就是这些。还有一个我们平时我们的功课当中呢，比如说 我们去烧香，拜在自己的家里烧香拜佛，然后念经就是这些，就是我们的 功课啊。那么烧香拜佛磕头念经当然是有功德的啊，这个我们并不是说这些都是没有用的，当然有用啊，但是这些都不是，绝对不是佛教的核心的这个思想啊。佛教的核心的思想是什么呢？就是我们刚才讲了啊，智慧和慈悲，或者是我们可以说啊，换一种说法的话，那么出离心、菩提心、正悟空心，就这三个啊，这三个就是宗喀巴大师在这个三主要道啊里面讲得很清楚了啊。这三个不管是藏传佛教的哪一个教派，还有就是汉传佛教啊、南传佛教啊，南传佛教也非常非常需要这个出离心。如果没有出离心啊，那么我们学藏传佛教也好，汉传佛教也好，学南传佛教也好，学什么佛教都没有办法走上解脱道啊。没有在没有这个出离心的这个前提下，我们做任何善事啊，从表面上看啊，看起来啊，做得再好再伟大啊，再怎么样，实际上它的含金量真的是不高的啊。这个就是意思就是说，这些表面上形式上啊，看起来很伟大啊，很好的这些善啊，这些善事实际上不能让我们解脱，不能让我们走向解脱。为什么呢？就是缺少了一个核心的力量，核心的力量就是出离心啊。总而言之，如果没有出离心啊，那么我们去再烧香拜佛、再磕头、再念经、再怎么样啊，这些功德只能让我们在这个轮回当中啊，过上一个稍微比较好一点的生活而已啊，根本就不能让我们超越轮回、超越生死啊。所以这个出离心是非常非常重要的。
Many people or renunciation for is for Buddhist practitioners extremely important. In the East, in Asia, as well as in the West, there are many people who regard themselves as Buddhist practitioners, but in fact lack even a basic knowledge of what Buddhist practice entails. And so as a result, they really don't know how to go about Buddhist practice, making incense offering in temples and praying for protection from the Buddhas in times of adversity, reciting prayers, mantras, prostrating, etc. Of course, all of these things generate merit, and so it's not to say that they are without any benefit whatsoever, but we can be clear that this is not the core of Buddhist practice. The core of Buddhist practice being, as we said, the cultivation of wisdom and compassion, or in another formula, the cultivation of renunciation, bodhicitta, and a correct view of emptiness. And this threefold formula was set out exactly this way by Tsongkhapa in his three principal stages of the path, and indeed all Tibetan schools, in fact, all schools of Buddhism, including the basic vehicle, the different Mahayana schools, etc., agree that on the key point that without renunciation, it is not possible for anyone to enter into the path of liberation. What this means is that without renunciation, any positive action that we might engage in, regardless of how great and wonderful it appears to be on the surface, cannot contribute in any way to our liberation from the sufferings of samsara. And the reason for this is that our action lacks the essential power of renunciation. The merit generated by these actions can only at most assist us in enjoying a somewhat better life in cyclic existence. It is in no way able to assist us in transcending the sufferings of samsara. And so therefore the cultivation of renunciation for Buddhist practitioners is extremely important.
好，那么什么叫做出离心啊？我们简单的说，用一句话来讲这个出离心啊，最简单的方式。那最简单的方式讲出离心，出离心是什么呢？啊，我们不管是什么人啊，就像我啊，就是不想再轮回啊，我觉得这个生死轮回啊，这样子很辛苦。很没有意思，所以我必须要解脱。那我要解脱，我一定要解脱。为了解脱，我要去修心啊！就这个心啊，这个决心叫做出离心啊。说起来这个很容易的，做起来啊，也许不是很容易。但是呢，我觉得这个比菩提心啊还容易得多啊，比菩提心容易得多。我们很多的学佛人当中啊，有标准的这个出离心的人还是比较多的，还是比较多。尤其是我们如果知道什么是出离心，然后我们知道了这个出离心的重要性啊，这样子的话，那这个出离心不是很难啊，不像菩提心啊，菩提心呢确实是比较难。啊，但是出离心比较容易啊。简单的说，就是啊，我要解脱啊，我不想在这个生死轮回当中啊这样子的循环啊，我一定要解脱，我要解脱，我要活得解脱啊，有这样子的一个坚定不移的决心，那这叫做，这就是标准的出离心。
So, what is it that we mean by renunciation? Well, putting this very simply in the simplest way possible, we can say that regardless of who we are, it is the strong, wish or resolve to transcend cyclic existence, that it entails a recognition that do not want to remain cycling in samsara, that it is meaningless, that it entails suffering, and that we strongly wish to achieve liberation from it, and that in order to do this, we engage in Buddhist practice. So this is, in a nutshell, what renunciation is. The cultivation of renunciation is actually easier than the cultivation of bodhicitta. In fact, among Buddhist practitioners, the number who have cultivated a strong renunciation is, in fact, more than the number of people who have cultivated strong bodhicitta. The reason for this is that when we understand the importance of renunciation, it is relatively easy to cultivate it. We can say that this ultimately, the recognition that the understanding of the suffering of cyclic existence, the desire to be free from it, is what we refer to as renunciation.
好，这个出离心啊，我们就是自从有了这个出离心以后啊，如果我们有一个标准的出离心的话，那就是等于啊，我们已经走上了解脱道啊，已经走上了解脱道，我们已经上路了啊。虽然还没有解脱，还没有解脱，但是我们已经走上了这条路。虽然还没有到达这个目的地，但是已经上路了啊，所以很有意思的，这个出离心非常重要。那我们怎么样修这个出离心呢？就是要修死前心。那这个藏传佛教里面就讲这个死前心和无前行啊。前心是什么意思呢？就是走在前面的啊，也就是一个最前面的一个基础的修心啊，基础的功课叫做这个死前心啊，叫做前心。那这个前心就有四个不同的修法， 所以叫做十千性啊。那我们想解脱的人啊，就不能这样子等啊。那我们就是要有一个实际的心动，那么这个实际的心动，我们一开始的时候就去修一个很高深的法，一下一开始就去修大圆满，修大寿因啊，还有修这个汉传佛教的禅宗，也是非常非常高级的啊，很高端的这个法门。那这些法啊，比如说禅宗、大寿因、大圆满，都是非常非常高级别的法，但是因为我们人的根基啊，跟不上这些法，这些高深的法跟我们的根基不相应啊，不相应，所以我们修了也不会有什么结果啊。所以首先最最关键的是把我们要把我们自己的根基提升啊，提升。那我们把我们的根基提升了以后呢？我们的根基跟这个高深的法就会相应的啊，相应的时候我们再去修啊，就可以禅宗的明心见性啊，然后这个大寿因和大圆满的真无啊，这个时候都有可能的。
So as soon as we or when we have been able to cultivate a strong renunciation or the requisite level of renunciation, then we can consider ourselves to have already entered into the path of liberation. That is, as soon as we have renunciation, we have already entered onto the path. We have not at this stage yet achieved liberation. We have not yet reached our final destination, as it were, but we have already set foot upon the path.So how is it that we go about cultivating renunciation? The way that we do so is by completing the preliminary practices, specifically the four external preliminaries. Preliminaries means a set of practices that are a basic set of practices, a foundational set of practices.And the preliminaries in Tibetan Buddhism contain four contemplative exercises, and hence we refer to these as the four external preliminaries. Those of us who want to achieve liberation cannot afford to wait. It's necessary that we start to take action in respect of our goal.However, if we immediately seek to engage in a very advanced kind of practice, such as Dzogchen practice or Mahamudra practice or Chan practice, the problem will be that these advanced practices, which indeed are very wonderful and very fine practices, unfortunately don't correspond with our current level and ability as practitioners. And so even though we may practice them, we may engage in them, they won't bring any results for us. So the first thing that we need to do is to improve our level, and our condition, so that then when we come to these advanced practices, they do correspond with where we are, they do match where we are. And at this point,it will be possible for us engaging in these practices to recognize the nature of self or recognize the nature of mind as described in Chan terminology or Dzogchen terminology. This is entirely possible once we have increased or improved our level and ability in this way.
如果我们真的想学佛啊，真的想修行的话，那必须要有一个系统的学习啊，系统的学习和系统的修行。否则的话，我们偶尔去参加一下法会，然后偶尔去听一听课，那平时都没有任何的实际行动啊，那只有哦，就烧烧香、拜拜佛，还有些时候念经啊，那这个。有没有功德？当然有，总比不做好。但是呢，这个还跟真的不算一个真正的这个修心啊。所以我们真正想修行的话，那就是要想办法有一个系统的学习和修行，这个非常好啊。那当然，我们很多人像我们的工作很忙，然后呢，工作的压力、生活的压力有很多的压力，我们怎么 啊，这个系统的学习、系统修行呢，当然是有办法的。我们工作压力、生活压力都有，但是呢，这些压力跟我们的修行呢，不是完全是矛盾的啊。生活很忙，工作很忙，但是呢，还是有办法，有计时间啊，基础时间来学习和修行。这个办法总的会有的啊，只要我们自己愿意的话，有的啊。所以呢，希望大家啊，就是需要给自己创造一个这个学习的环境啊，修行的环境，然后呢就系统的就了解一下佛法啊，怎么样去修，怎么样去做，这是最最最重要。然后知道了以后呢，尽量比如说每天就是一个小时半个小时一个小时到两个小时，甚至是半个小时也可以啊，每天有这么一段时间学习修心这样子的话这个累积下来了以后呢，还是有获得很多的这个力量，也可以得到一些进步这个非常重要我们大家都认为我们的现实生活很重要当然我们从来都不会说现实生活不重要，我们人要生存，现实生活很重要然后呢，尤其是现实生活是就在我们眼前的事情，所以我们大家都很在乎这个是这个每个人都是这样子。但是呢未来也是很重要的未来也是很重要。我们人比如说让我们选择一年以后给你1000块钱和今天给你100块钱，我们很多人觉得我今天要100块钱，一年以后我不要很多人有这样子的想法，因为我们的这个眼光总是就怎么下载，所以我们眼前的东西特别的看得重未来会我们要经历的，未来我们还是要面对的，但是呢我们很多人不是那么在乎未来这个我们的这个是一个我们的一个正常的心灵反应，都是这样子对我们而言，对我们普通而言，这些都应该属于是正常的范围但是这个正常确实是稍微再高一点的这个层次来看的话，这个确实是不正常了这个不正常，我们的所有的错误、所有的问题就在这里所以呢，我们还是要有一点点长远的这个计划、长远的打算和长远的目标这个非常的重要。如果有一个长远的目标，那就我们需要有一个系统的学习的计划和系统的修行的计划，然后一步一步的修每天坚持这么一个小时、两个小时，甚至是半个小时我们任何人都根本就不可能每一天抽不出半个小时、记不出半个小时当然有些时候比较特殊的情况下特别的忙每个人都有这样子的时间，那这个时候如果挤不出来也没关系那个时候是因为是特殊情况，这个我们可以说把它是特殊情况，这一天做不到没关系，但是通常有这么一部分的这个修行的时间那这样子我们就会有收获，这样子才感觉得到这个学佛的进步和学佛的利益。
So if we want to sincerely engage in the study and practice of Buddhism, it's necessary that we adopt a systematic approach to doing so. So the approach of now and again listening to a class or attending a Buddhist event, making some incense offerings, etc., etc., these kinds of action, of course,do have merit and they're better than doing nothing at all, but they don't in themselves constitute real practice. Taking a systematic approach towards one's cultivation as a practitioner is very important. Of course, many people think we have that we all have so much pressure in our work lives, in our everyday lives. How is it possible for us to really follow a systematic path of Buddhist study and practice? Of course, it is the case that we do have pressure in our work and everyday lives, yet it is still possible for us, amid our busy and pressured lives, to allocate some time for our Buddhist study and practice. So long as we are willing to do so, it will certainly be possible. So I hope that everyone can make some space for the study and practice of Buddhism in their life, and systematically go about understanding Buddhism, that is, how it is that we go about the study of Buddhism and how it is that we go about the practice of Buddhism. And if every day for a period of, say, 1 hour or 2 hours, or even for as little as half an hour, we can dedicate this time to Buddhist study and practice, then over a long period, the accumulated effect of this practice and study will be very powerful, and we will certainly show progress. Everyone, of course, thinks that this current life, their worldly lives, are very important, and of course they are important. However, our future lives are also important too. If we were, say, to give people the option of having $1,000 in 1 year's time or $100 right now, many people would choose to forego the opportunity of having $1,000 in a year's time simply in order to have $100 in their hand right now. And of course, many people think in this way is very normal. It seems to be a very normal response to be more concerned with that is right directly in front of us and less concerned with the future. We know, of course, that the future is something we will need to encounter, that we will inevitably experience, but we don't tend to pay it so much attention, being more fixated on what is immediately in front of us. So even though we can say that from one perspective this is kind of normal, if we sort of look at this situation from a slightly higher point of view, we can say that in actual fact it's not normal at all, and this tendency of ours is the source of all our problems. It's therefore necessary for us to adopt a more long-range approach and more long-range goals, and to therefore adopt a systematic approach to the study and practice of Buddhism, to make for ourselves a systematic plan for our Buddhist study and practice, and to work on this step by step by devoting time to these things every day. There is no one for whom it would be impossible to dedicate half an hour each day to these things. Of course, there may be some exceptional circumstances when we're busy and we're not able to do so. However, in the normal course of events, it's possible to reserve half an hour or to find half an hour in one's day for these things. And if this is something that we are able to persist at, we're able to maintain this level of practice over a long period of time, then we're sure to see results from our efforts.
好，然后第三个离坛啊，离坛就是远离坛主啊，远离坛主，离开坛主叫做离坛。那第三个离坛就是说，如果我们有自离啊，自离离他的这个自离，那如果有自离，如果有自私，那就不是菩提心啊，就不是菩萨啊。第三句话的意思就是这个，我们宗喀巴大师呢，就把这个出离心啊、菩提心，最后就是这个证悟空心。李斯坛里面呢，就前面就多了一个啊，前面多了一个，就是让我们就眼光啊不要太狭窄，要放远一点啊，要把来时也要考虑进去。就除了这个以外，然后后面的三个跟这个宗喀巴大师的三株要道是一样的，所以第三个呢，第三个离坛就是讲这个菩提心啊。那么 菩提心的重要性，还有菩提心的这个本质，以及这个菩提心的修法，这些我们在前三天的这个课里面呢，已经给大家介绍了。
So the third line from the teachings, the teaching on the parting from the four attachments is.If you are attached to your own self-interest, you don't have bodhicitta, or you are not a bodhisattva. So this is the third line of the parting from the four attachments. And the parting from the four attachments are in most respects the same as Tsongkhapa's threefold formula of renunciation, bodhicitta, and a correct view of emptiness. The parting from the four attachments includes an extra teaching on the importance of extending one's life view to encompass future lives in addition to this present life as well. But with the exception of this, the contents of this teaching is the same as Tsongkhapa's presentation. So in this thirdline of the teaching, we're really focusing on bodhicitta and the importance of bodhicitta, the benefits of bodhicitta, and how to actually go about cultivating bodhicitta, bodhicitta cultivation methods is something that we have spoken about over the past three nights of teachings.
好，这个菩提心的修法呢，我们虽然是讲了，但是呢，讲的还是比较简单的，也没有很展开的。虽然是讲了三天啊，但是呢，也讲的这个内容也不是很多啊，也就是讲了一个比较简单的一个这个具体的一个训练的方法啊。但是这个菩提心它还有其他的这个训练的方法啊。那么其他的训练的方法呢？我们也应该去学啊，那这些我们可以通过这个网络可以学啊，在网上有很多的这个视频啊，有视频有音频，还有这个电子版的书啊，大家啊这个上网啊去学习啊，这些都是对我们学佛的人来说确实是很重要啊。学不学佛，第一个啊，没有人要求我们，或者是没有人强迫我们，都是自己的选择，都是自己的选择啊。那一旦学佛了以后呢，我们还是啊，希望大家都学到一个比较正统的啊，比较珍贵的这个佛教啊，希望大家都遇到一个比较珍贵的这个佛教，这个真的是很重要啊。然后遇到了这样子的佛法的时候呢，如果我们不去修不去学的话，那虽然是遇到了这个珍贵的佛法啊，但是呢跟没有遇到是一样的，我们还是没有去用，还是没有去学，那遇到了有什么用呢？没有用。所以啊，这些其他的这些修行的方法呢，我们也要去了解一下。那了解啊，我想最好的方法啊，大家可以通过这个网络学习，通过网络学习也是可以一样的，可以学得到。
So in respect of bodhicitta cultivation methods, even though we talked about this over the past three days of teaching, we only really explained these methods in quite simple terms. It wasn't possible to go into them in a great amount of detail. So in addition to the methods, the training methods that we outlined over the past three nights, there are other methods for the cultivation of bodhicitta, and they are very much worthy of our study. And we can do this by looking on the internet. There are a great number of resources, digital books, video teachings, audio teachings, and it is very important for Buddhist practitioners to consult teachings on these other cultivation methods. insofar as our Buddhist practice is concerned, there is no one forcing us to be a Buddhist practitioner. It's our own choice as to whether or not we do so. However, if we've made the choice to do so, then it's necessary that we come into contact with authentic Buddhism. However, if we've encountered authentic Buddhism, but we don't go about putting it into practice, we don't go about cultivating its practice, then actually the difference between encountering it and not encountering it, there is no difference, and there is no benefit essentially in encountering authentic Buddhism if we don't put it into practice. So it's important that we do familiarize ourselves with these other methods for the cultivation of bodhicitta.
好，那么这样子，我们前几天已经讲过的这些菩提心的重要心、菩提心的修法，我们今天啊不重复，因为时间的关系，今天不重复。我想，我们今天啊听可的和前几天听可的，基本上大多数人啊都是同一个。还有一些个别的人，就是还没有听到。如果想学的话，那我们把这个视频会放到网上啊，大家自己可以学习。
So due to our time constraints today, we're not going to repeat what we said over the past few days about the benefits of bodhicitta cultivation and the instructions on concrete practices for cultivating bodhicitta. If there are individuals here today who weren't able to attend these past few days of teaching, then the video teaching will be put online and you can look at it there at your own convenience.
好，那么我们今天呢，给大家介绍昨天没有讲的另外一个这个菩提心的修法，也就是我们在生活当中随时随地任何一个时候都可以用、都可以修的一个这样子的修法。
So today I'd like to introduce one method for the cultivation of bodhicitta that we didn't have the opportunity to go into in the past few days. And it is a method or an approach that we can use at any time in our everyday lives, wherever we might be.
那这个修法我们可以在两个时候可以修，一个就是当我们觉得特别的 痛苦的时候，特别难受啊，这样子的时候可以修。另外一个呢，当我们觉得自己特别幸福的时候，特别快乐的时候可以修，就在这两个时候可以修。
And this practice method is one that we can engage in at two different kinds of times. The first time we can engage in its practice is when we are feeling extremely unhappy, extremely low, and the other time that we can engage in its practice is when we are feeling extremely happy and joyous.
痛苦的时候，比如说我们遇到了一些不太顺利的事情，所以我们内心当中特别的难受。 或者是生病，有这个身体的难受，这样子的时候，佛教里面就有一个叫做痛苦转为道勇，痛苦就是身心的痛苦，然后把它转化为道，道是什么呢？道就是我们的修心，把痛苦当做一种修心，把难受 也可以把它当做一个修心，这个痛苦、痛身心的这个痛苦的感受，把它转化为一种修心，一个这样子的方法，这叫做痛苦转为道勇。
So in so far as times when we are feeling unhappy, when we are suffering, it might be due to some bad luck or misfortune, we feel psychological suffering or illness that brings for us a strong sense of physical suffering. What we can do in such situations is bring this suffering to the path of practice. So this practice is can also be referred to as transforming one's suffering into an aid for one's spiritual practice.
比如说我们很多人经常我们很经常听到很多人这么说，比如说他去体检，体检的时候呢，医生告诉他有这个绝症就只能活多少多少时间等等这样子的，还有严重的，就比较严重的那么还有一些不太严重的一些这个事情发生在自己的身上的时候呢，然后很多很多的人就抱怨说他们长期说的话是什么呢？就是怎么发生在我的身上呢？怎么论到我的头上呢？很多人就这么讲那我们请问，那这个不应该发生在我们的身上，那我们认为这个应该发生在谁的身上呢？这个很自私，这样子是不对的。那但是我们很多很多不学佛的人确实是这样子，怎么发生在我的身上呢？怎么轮到我了很多人是这样，这是一个我们一个，因为我们大家都很自私然后我们特别特别的在乎自己的这个感受，所以我们有一个这样子的反应，实际上对我们而言是一个正常的反应但是呢从另外一个角度来说，这个确实是不正常确实不正常。这种反应给我们带来更多的会给我们带来更多的痛苦。那这个时候就不能这样子去思考问题这个时候不能这样子看问题。这个时候我们需要一个另外一个思维的方式。
Many people, when they go in for a medical examination and are told perhaps that they have a life-threatening illness or a terminal illness and only have a short period of time to live, or in other cases when people are diagnosed with less serious illnesses, frequently think, why has this happened to me? Why has this befallen me?In fact, what are we really thinking here? Who is it we think that this should have happened to, if in fact not ourselves? So this kind of attitude or this way of thinking is in fact very selfish, but many people, of course, think like this, and especially many people who are not Buddhist practitioners. We're very selfish. We are constantly thinking about ourselves and our own feelings. And this is seen to be a relatively normal situation. However, it's possible for looking at it from another perspective to see it as far from normal. And in fact, this response to be one that only yields more suffering for us. So when we encounter suffering of this nature, we can't afford to think like this. We need to have a new way for approaching, in an attitudinal way, the situation that we are in.
好，那这个时候我们应该怎么想呢？我们怎么把这个痛苦转为导游呢？在没有遇到这样子的事情的时候呢，我们需要一点训练需要一点训练。如果没有训练，没有这种训练，我们通常就不做任何的训练，那遇到问题的时候呢，就很难用得上还是我们像这种刚才的这种思维的方式来对待。所以就是平时需要点训练，那这个训练的方法呢，我们昨天已经讲过了，那今天就不再重复了那我们遇到这样子的问题的时候呢，我们怎么去想呢？首先比如说我生病了，或者是我就是因为种种的原因特别特别难受那这样子的时候呢，首先第一个不要说为什么是我，为什么轮到我，为什么发生在我的身上，先不说这些抱怨的话，也不去想首先第一个我们要想这一次我的这个身体和身心的痛苦我希望能够代替所有众生的痛苦也就是说所有众生的这个痛苦，心和神的痛苦我来承受但愿我的这个痛苦 能够代替啊天下所有人的痛苦，天下所有众生的痛苦啊，天下所有的众生都健康都快乐，我一个人可以不健康，可以不开心啊，我的这个不开心和我的这个不健康啊，我希望能够啊代替啊所有的众生啊，所有众生的痛苦啊，如果我的这个痛苦真的实际上能够代替啊，能够代替所有众生的痛苦，那我愿意我一个人生病，我一个人痛苦啊，其他人都健康，其他人都快乐的话，那我痛苦没问题，我生病没问题，我痛苦我愿意啊，不但是我能接受，而且我很乐意啊，而且我很高兴，嗯，就是要这样子这个训练啊。但是这个训练必须要有比较强大的这个慈悲心的基础啊，需要有一个强大的慈悲心的基础。嗯，如果没有这种慈悲心的基础的话，那我们也只是一个形式而已。实际上发自内心的还没有这么想，那是没有用的。这叫做自欺欺人。嗯，所以在这个时候呢，我们啊要尽量的。就怎么去想，在生活当中啊，我们是很多时候我们遇到很多的不公平的待遇呀，然后就是这个因为工作不顺利，或者是家庭感情各种各样的不顺利，导致很多我们精神上的这个痛苦啊，随时都有的。所以我们做好准备啊，做好准备，然后到时候有的时候一旦要面对的时候呢，那既然要面对，那我们在这个痛苦的面前不要那么软弱啊，不要那么脆弱，那我们用另外一个方式去对待面对啊，另外一个比较坚强比较勇敢的方法去面对啊。那么勇敢的方法是什么呢？那这个时候就是说啊，我现在就是遇到了这样，有接受了这样子的，有遇到了这样子的这个事情啊，没问题，我就是为了天下所有众生啊，我来代替他们的痛苦。还有就是发自内心的发愿啊，发愿续愿啊，我的这个痛苦能够代替啊，能够代替所有众生。首先第一个我们训练的时候呢啊，首先有一个训练的这个次第，这个次第是很重要啊，按照这个次第，按照这个步骤来啊，这个接受啊别人的痛苦。那这个步骤呢啊，我们等一下解释。
So in types of in situations of suffering like this, how do we go about bringing it to the path, or how do we go about transforming it into an aid for our spiritual practice?It's important before we actually encounter a situation of suffering to train ourselves in compassion, regularly through our practice. The reason being that without cultivating, this, foundation of practice, then when we do actually encounter suffering, it's very difficult to put it to practice. So over the past few nights, we talked about how we can go about training ourselves in cultivating our compassion in times when we are not yet encountering, suffering. Once we have, trained in this way, then let's say we've encountered a situation of suffering or we're ill.The first thing we need to do is not complain, asking, why me, why this has happened to me. What we should think instead is that through this instance of suffering, I wish to take on all of the suffering of all beings. And, if in taking on the suffering of all beings, this enables them to be free from suffering and enables them to be happy, then I am willing to do so. And not only am I willing to do so, I am extremely happy and glad to be able to do so. So in, making this kind of aspiration and thinking like this, we really need to practice at it, to train ourselves in it. It's important first though that we do this practice upon a strong foundation in compassion. If we don't have a strong foundation of compassion, then ultimately we are just really fooling ourselves. We might say these things, but it's just an external show. We're just going through the motions. So when we experience moments of pain and suffering in our lives due to different challenges involving our work and family problems, etc., it's necessary that we start to cultivate the necessary psychological preparation, and that instead of yielding to a very a habitually weak approach or weak way of addressing this suffering, that we use, that we take a braver approach. And what is this braver approach? Well, it is, as we just described, being willing to take on the suffering of the situation with the wish that in doing so, all beings will be relieved of their suffering and will be able to enjoy happiness. But this is a training that has stages. It's a step-by-step gradual training practice, and it's necessary that we do follow the steps. And I'd like to outline now what they are.
好，接下来就给大家介绍一下这个步骤步骤或者这个次第很关键的为什么呢？因为这个时候我们本来就是遇到了挫折很难受，那这时候一下子让我们去接受天下所有众生的痛苦啊什么的，那这样子可能是难度就更大了难度更大。所以这个时候呢，我们首先就是代替自己的痛苦首先第一步就是代替自己的未来的痛苦就是说比如说我们现在生病的话呢，就说我现在的生病希望我能够代替我的未来的即将或者是未来将要面临的这些痛苦我现在的这个痛苦来代替我未来的痛苦我现在的这个不开心这个焦虑这个压力希望能够代替未来的这个焦虑和压力我现在的这个痛苦我接受了，那我承担了，那承担了以后呢希望通过这个我以后不要再有这个痛苦，我一下子把这个痛苦就代替了所有我的这个痛苦那这样子是首先是代替自己的未来的这个痛苦因为我们爱自己，所以呢这个是比较容易的那这个做到了以后呢，这个其实没有什么做不到，这个做到以后呢，然后呢我们再在这个目标再转移其他人的身上，这样子一步一步的修。
So the stages in this cultivation process are very important, and the reason for this is that when we encounter difficulty, we've experienced suffering, and if all of a sudden we expect ourselves to be able to take on the suffering of all living beings, then this is a relatively high order, a relatively tall order. So the first stage of this practice is to take on all future suffering of ourselves. And for example, we might do this through illness. When we experience illness, we think or we wish that through this instance of illness, we may take on all of our future, the suffering of our future illnesses. Otherwise, we could say, through this instance of illness, which I accept, which I willingly take on, may I, through this instance of taking on this suffering, not suffer the illnesses I will incur in the future. And we can do this practice in relation to other forms of suffering, including anxiety and worry. When we encounter these forms of suffering, we wish very strongly that in taking on this instance of suffering, that we, in the process, take on all our future suffering at the same time. And the reason that we start here is because we cherish ourselves, and due to this self-cherishing, it's relatively easy for us to make this kind of wish or resolve. And after we're able to do this in relation to ourselves, then it is easy for us to expand the objects of our attention or to expand the scope of our aspiration further.
好, 第二个步骤, 第二个步骤呢, 就是我们, 就希望我们的这个痛苦能够代替, 比如说我父母的痛苦, 我儿女的痛苦, 家人的痛苦, 反正就是自己最爱最亲的人开始, 父母呀, 儿女呀, 就开始, 我的这个痛苦, 希望能够代替, 我父母的痛苦, 因为我生病, 那我父母永远都不要生病, 我儿女永远都不要生病, 我这次的生病, 我这次的痛苦, 希望能够代替他们的痛苦, 如果他们能够健康, 他们不痛苦, 那我就愿意痛苦, 我愿意这个接受, 这个痛苦, 这样子, 这是第二个步骤, 这个也是比较容易的。
And then moving on from here, the second stage of the practice is where we wish or resolve that through this suffering we are currently experiencing, that our parents or our children, that is the people who are most close to us, the people for whom we feel the most affection, that through our taking on of this suffering, that we might do so in their stead. That is, that through taking on this suffering, that they need not experiencing suffering themselves. So we make the strong resolve that if in our taking on this suffering, they are able to be free from suffering and they are able to attain happiness as a result, then we are willing to take on this suffering. So this is the second stage of the practice.
好, 第三个, 第三个步骤才是高难度的功课, 这个时候呢，不是自己的，也不是我们的这个亲戚朋友的，那是陌生人，或者是对我不好的人的这些痛苦，我们也要考虑进来。那就是说，我发自内心的，诚心实意的希望能够以我的这个痛苦代替天下所有众生的 痛苦, 天下所有众生的这个不开心，如果我的这个痛苦能够代替天下所有众生的痛苦的话，那我就愿意我一个人痛苦，其他人都不痛苦，其他人都很健康，那我一个人痛苦没问题，我可以接受，平时就不是这样子的，平时呢 比如说我生病了，其他人没有生病的话，那我们就会开始说刚才这种话，我们开始嫉妒，凭什么我生病呢？凭什么轮到我的身上呢？凭什么发生在我的身上，而他们没有呢？这就是嫉妒，这样子以后呢，我们会更加的这个病情，会更加的恶化，然后我们的这个难受也就会更加的，更加的会恶化，更加的严重，这样子。 那现在我们就换一个方法来思考，现在不是这样子，那如果我的这个病痛能够代替所有众生的病痛，那我一个人生病没关系，我可以接受，其他人都可以健康的话，我愿意，诚达，这样子的这个心愿，确实是真的是非常非常有价值的。如果我们能够这么想的话，是不是实际上所有人的病痛都堆积在我的身上呢？有些人害怕，不会的，永远都不会的，这只不过就是一个自己的一个训练的方式而已，就是训练自己的慈悲心而已。实际上也不会的，但是如果我们如果发自内心的，有这种强烈的这个心愿的话，那我们以这样子的慈悲心来修自他相还的话，这个我昨天也讲过了，对其他的病人，对其他人 确实是有帮助的，在我们的心里啊，散发出一种能量啊，然后让更多的人知道啊，这个慈悲心的力量。就是美国科学家已经发现了这个力量，这个道理，所以呢啊，美国的医疗系统当中在推广这个自他相还的修法啊，这个你们人都在美国应该是了解的。如果不是很了解的话，大家上网去搜索，去关注一下。这个确实是，确实是科学家他以科学的眼光啊，肯定了这个慈悲心的价值，慈悲心对现实生活的这个作用啊，这个我们很高兴啊。是不是佛教的所有东西都要用科学来印证呢？当然不需要的，印证不印证都没问题。但是如果能够印证的话，对现代的人，尤其是对年轻人来说啊，比较容易接受啊，有帮助的。所以从这个角度来讲，这也是一个比较啊值得高兴的事情。那他们都已经发现了这个力量啊，做了很多很多的实验啊，最后就发现它的这个力量，所以他们也在推广。啊，那我们修这样子自他相还的时候呢，实际上啊，对跟这个给这个对方啊，会带来一些利益啊，会带来一些利益有帮助。但是我们自己会不会啊，真的会代替，真的会把所有的病、所有的痛苦都堆积在我身？这个是永远都不会的啊，永远不会。所以这个不需要害怕，不需要这个，不需要想这么多啊。非常有意思的一个思维的方式。那这种思维的方式，我们随时随地啊，只要我们遇到一点点的这个挫折啊，精神上的痛苦、身体上的痛苦的时候，随时用这个方法来对待啊，那就非常好的，非常有意思的。
The third stage of the practice is the most difficult, and the reason for this is at this stage of the practice, we are not practicing in relation to ourselves or our loved ones. However, at this point of the practice, we are extending our concern to strangers and as well as people who are not on good terms with us. So.At this third stage of practice, what we do when we encounter suffering is we wish sincerely and from the depths of our heart that through this suffering, or this instance of suffering, which we willingly take on, may we relieve the suffering of all living beings. Usually when we encounter suffering, as we said, our first response is, why me? Why has this happened to me? And in fact, this is a very negative way to think. It leads to a situation where our suffering gets worse, our physical condition probably continues to deteriorate as well. So if we are able to change the way that we respond in situations of suffering, for example, when we are ill, thinking that, look, this is okay, I'm willing to take on this illness, if in taking on this illness other beings can be relieved from suffering and can achieve happiness, then I am willing to do so and am very glad to do so. If we're able to think in this way and practice in this way, then this is of a very great value. Some people might worryThat if we practice in this way, is it really possible that the illnesses of all living beings will ripen on our own bodies? Of course, this is not possible. This would not happen. What we are engaging in is simply a mind training practice. However,it is certainly true, though, that by bringing this practice to exchanging self and other, as we described the other night, that we can be of concrete benefit to others through emanating compassion to others. Scientists recently in America have done quite a bit of research into the benefits of compassion practice, and given their research results, a great deal of compassion meditation practice, compassion cultivation practice is now being widely introduced into many arenas. For those of you who don't know about this, there you can search online and understand the scientific research that is currently being conducted and is being conducted in an ongoing way. Of course, it's not necessary that all Buddhist practice or Buddhist teachings be verified through scientific research. However, if it is able to be done in some cases, this can make Buddhist practice more easier to accept or more accessible to certain people and particularly to younger people. So by and large, we should see this research as a happy thing, a positive thing for Buddhism. That is that scientists have discovered the benefit of compassion and that compassion practice is now widely spreading in society. So when we practice exchanging self for others, not only are we helping others in this very concrete way, we have no reason to fear that in reality illness will ripen on ourselves. And this approach, this very valuable approach that we've just described, is one that we can use at any time when we encounter any kind of suffering, whether it be small, whether it be great. If we can immediately put this practice into practice, then it will be of great benefit.
好，这样子呢，我们还没有遇到这样子的问题的时候呢，需要做一点准备啊。平时我们没有遇到的时候，做好准备，做一些训练啊，这样子到时候我们遇到问题的时候就很容易解决啊。否则的话，我们平时都没有做好任何的准备，没有训练，那问题啊面对的时候呢，然后我们啊手忙脚乱，不知所措。啊，这个时候都用不上的啊，所以是首先要做一些这个准备啊，训练。那训练的方法呢，我们昨天讲过打坐，然后去修这个自他相欢啊，这样子每一次我们遇到问题的时候呢，首先就要心里做好准备啊，我这一次我要这个修啊，这个自他相欢啊，我要啊这个修啊，我们刚才讲的这种思维的这个思维的方法。
Before we encounter instances of significant suffering, however, it is necessary that we do practice, that we do train ourselves. And if we're able to do this, then when we do come across suffering, it's relatively easy for us to bring our practice resources into the immediate situation. If we don't practice, if we don't prepare, however, then when we actually encounter a situation of suffering, it will be very difficult for us to bring our practice to the immediate situation at hand. So the training that, or the practice that we spoke about is precisely exchanging, the practice of exchanging self for other, cultivated in a meditation context. And then when we encounter suffering in our everyday lives, if we generally approach it using it as an opportunity to cultivate exchanging self for other, then we will be able to habituate ourselves in this way.
好，接下来我要问一个我们生活当中的一个细节，一个小的问题啊，那位师兄回答一下。
So I'd now like to ask a small question about your everyday lives, and I would be glad if a few people could answer.
你们谁扎过针？中医的，你有是吧？还有呢？
Has anyone ever had acupuncture done before?
好，那就一个人回答。你来回答。好，那你扎针的时候痛不痛？ 是不是有点紧张？对，特别害怕，很紧张啊。那这个时候呢，还没有这个针还没有扎的时候呢，你是怎么做准备的呢？啊？闭着眼睛。啊。闭着眼睛就是看不见而已，但是针还是要扎进来的。啊，这是一个啊，还有一个呢，中医扎针，如果扎到穴位上是没有问题的了，但是有些时候还是很酸痛的，是吧？那很酸痛的时候呢，那个时候是你怎么面对的呢？第一个就是扎眼啊，这个闭眼睛，第二个呢？啊？针扎？忍着。有没有什么方法？
想一些其他的事情。
想什么呢？
就是把注意力要转到背上，转到其他的地方，
想一些好的事情。我不痛，我不会痛，这样子。
The person who answered this question said that even though her experience of acupuncture wasn't that painful, nevertheless, before the needles went in, she felt scared. Before the needle penetrated her skin, her eyes were closed. Campbell asked whether, in anticipating the pain, aside from closing one's eyes, what other approaches can we take aside from closing our eyes? And the answer that many people answered was really just simply to put up with the pain, to bear it, to endure it. And Campbell asked how we go about doing this, and the answer was by thinking about other things, by distracting one's attention, thinking about good or better situations, etc.
好，其实啊，中医的扎针、西医扎针其实是不同的，不是怎么同的。但是呢，我们很多人还是比较紧张啊。那紧张的时候呢，我们应该有一个方法，有什么样的方法呢？啊，之前就我们如果我们刚才讲的这个方法用啊，如果有一点点训练的话，那个时候就可以用啊。怎么样用呢？啊，就是还没有扎针的时候，打针的时候就心里做好准备啊。这次啊，扎针打针的时候，我会稍微有点痛啊，稍微有点痛。那我这个痛，我愿意接受啊。希望我的这么一点点的痛苦也能够代替，能够代替天下所有众生的这个痛苦啊，虽然这个还不算什么痛苦啊，但是呢，我希望这个痛苦能够代替所有众生的痛苦，那所有众生的各种各样的痛苦啊，那这样子心里做好准备，这是一个我们在生活当中一个可以用得上的一个啊，虽然不是什么很大的这个痛苦，但是呢，打的痛苦来了，我们反而就不一定能够转为导用啊，这些小的痛苦呢，我们可以这么转化。
So even though acupuncture in general is not that painful, when the needles hit the pressure points, nevertheless, it's something that most of us feel quite apprehensive and anxious about. The best approach that we can use in this situation is that which we just spoke about before. That is, we should prepare ourselves mentally for the experience, acknowledging that it will be probably a bit painful, but that we are willing to take on this pain, to take on this suffering, with the wish that this small amount of suffering we may... that this small amount of suffering may enable us to take on the suffering of all living beings, and that our suffering might happen in their stead. Even though this amount of suffering is not great, nevertheless, we wish that through taking it on, that other beings be relieved from their suffering. And so by practicing in this way, it's possible for us to use situations, when we encounter small suffering, to actually bring this suffering to the path, to transform it into an aid for our spiritual practice. When we encounter very large instances of suffering, it's not necessarily going to be the case that we'll be able to do so. So we should first start by practicing with these small instances of suffering.
好，第二个就是我们扎针的时候呢，有些时候就是有点痛啊，酸痛酸痛的，这是一个。其实扎针的时候都从来都不会有很受不了、忍不住的这样子的痛苦。但是呢，如果按摩的话，这些专业的人来按摩，确实是有些时候真的是受不了，快要放弃啊，有这样子的这个痛啊，特别尤其是脖子、颈椎特别特别的痛啊。那像这样子的时候呢，我们就是用什么样的方法这个面对呢？那这个时候正在忍受这个痛苦的时候，我们就是要去想我这个痛苦虽然不是很严重但是其实也就比较厉害那我希望这个痛苦能够代替所有众生的这个痛苦所有众生的这个大大小小的痛苦，以我的这个痛苦来取代我的这个痛苦能够取代所有众生所有人的痛苦，希望天下所有的众生就是因此，也就是因为我的这个小小的痛苦而他们都远离痛苦，他们都能够健康，都能够开心要这样子，要这样子想，以后要这样子想不要去想美好的东西，这个时候所有美好的东西都不管用
So acupuncture is occasionally a bit painful, but rarely is it the case that the pain is excruciating or unbearable. However, massage, professional Chinese massage, on the other hand, is a different situation. Sometimes when we are having our neck or backs massaged, it can be absolutely excruciating. So what we can do is, as we are in the process of enduring this pain, we can wish that through this suffering, through our suffering, that all beings may be freed from their suffering, that as a result of us undergoing or enduring this small amount of suffering, that they may be free from their present and future sufferings and may achieve happiness. So this is how we should think, this is how we should practice when we encounter these kinds of pain or physical pain or suffering. We shouldn't try to distract ourselves by thinking of beautiful things and places.
好，这个是我们昨天没有讲完的一个具体的修法。然后接下来我们昨天讲的我昨天说我们要讲三个问题，一个是这个打坐的时候的自他的相欢，这个昨天讲完了。那另外一个是今天讲刚刚讲的那个那第三个呢，就是因为这个修法让我们长期的开心感到开心，感到幸福有一个这样子的方法，这个确实是对我们现代人来说非常非常的重要因为我们现代人的这个精神上的问题就越来越多，越来越严重，必须要有一个这样子的方法，这个非常的重要那这个方法是实际上就是刚才的这个方法那么刚才这样子我们一次两次这个把这个成功的把这个痛苦转化为导游这样子以后呢，然后我们开始有信心有自信从此以后呢，我们认为痛苦其实就是一种训练的机会训练的机会也是一种积累资粮的一个机会也是一个成长自己的慈悲心的一个机会，是一个难得的一个机会难得的机会。那有痛苦的时候呢，我可以就修这个相还自他相还的这个修心，然后这个时候呢，我确确实实就可以去想这个就取代承担所有众生的这个痛苦这个当中我可以第一个我可以训练，第二个可以增长我的慈悲心，第三个 啊，我积累很多很多的资粮，这样子以后呢，从此以后我们就不会害怕啊痛苦，不会害怕痛苦，甚至有些时候就觉得有一点痛苦也可以啊，有一点痛苦可以，就是因为这个就是一个啊一个训练的机会，所以我可以训练，所以我愿意有一点痛苦啊，有些时候都是这样子。那从此以后呢？我们真的，我们的内心呢，达到一个非常稳定、非常平衡的状态啊！痛苦来了，我也可以面对；幸福来了，我也可以面对。我可以始终保持一个比较平稳的心态啊！我们的内心没有那么多的浮动啊，没有那么大的这个波动，嗯，所以这是一个非常好的啊修法。从此以后啊。我们就不会很啊，不会很害怕痛苦，不会很啊，不会很不开心，嗯，因为这个痛苦啊，痛苦，我们越害怕它，越拒绝它啊，越拒绝就是越严重啊。如果我们越不害怕它，越能够接受啊，那痛苦对我们的杀伤力就越小，对我们的破坏就越小啊。所以这个就是第一个。这种修心的方法可以在现实生活当中给我们带来平衡的心啊，平衡的心。第二个呢，啊，我们刚才讲的，这也是一种大乘佛教的一种非常难得的修心啊，一个非常好的修心。希望大家以后啊，我们从啊这个最小的痛苦，比如说我们刚才讲的扎针按摩啊这样子的这个小的啊。实际上不叫痛苦啊，但是呢，这个我们啊，在生活当中呢，有些时候呢，我们也就不太啊，不太希望接受，所以这个也就是像是一个痛苦啊，所以叫做痛苦。那这个很小的从这个很小的痛苦开始做训练啊，开始做训练。那么一次两次成功了以后呢，我们非常有自信啊，然后从此以后呢，再大的痛苦啊，我们都觉得啊无所谓啊，没关系啊，我也可以通过这个痛苦，我也可以修心啊，没有什么大不了的呀，就是有这样子的强大的这个精神啊。自从有了这样子强大的精神以后呢，在生活当中，比如说失恋了、离婚了，然后呢，这个生意亏本了。啊，等等等等，所有的事情我都不害怕，无所谓啊，来呀、啊，我有这里有强大的这个啊方法去面对啊，这样子以后呢，啊，我们在生活当中保持一个非常快乐的这个心态啊，这是啊我们昨天没有讲完的，实际上跟今天的内容是一样的啊啊，这个非常重要，希望大家训练啊，希望大家用这个来训练。
So this is the cultivation practice or the practice method that we didn't get a chance to cover yesterday evening. Because through familiarizing ourselves with this practice, it is possible for us to generate long-term happiness. It is actually very important. There was a third aspect or an extra aspect of this practice that I hope to mention. It's essentially goes on from the previous one. Essentially, after we have successfully had or cultivated several successful instances of taking on suffering and with the wish that in doing so other beings may be freed from suffering, then through doing this, we can slowly cease to see suffering as something to be feared. Instead, we can start to begin to view suffering as an opportunity to train our minds, to engage in practice. At the same time, we can see suffering as an opportunity to increase or to accumulate merit. We can also look upon suffering as a rare and precious opportunity to increase and cultivate our compassion. So, by familiarizing ourselves with this practice, in the future we won't feel fear when we do encounter suffering. We'll be willing to take it on, viewing it as an excellent training opportunity. And in so doing, we will be able to have minds that are stable, minds that whether we encounter suffering or whether we encounter happiness, are able to confront reality in whatever forms it presents to us. So, with such a stable mind, with such a stable outlook, we won't feel fear, we won't feel unhappiness. And in fact, the more that we resist suffering, the more that we fear suffering, the more, in fact, we actually suffer. However, the more that we cease to resist suffering and the less that we fear it, then the less effect that suffering actually has on us. So through practicing in this way, it's possible for us to achieve equanimity of mind. And this practice is also a very important one in the Mahayana teachings. So we can start with small instances of suffering, as we described, pain during acupuncture or pain during a massage session. Of course, these things aren't really suffering. They're just experiences or feelings that we're not really willing to take on. Nevertheless, by starting off with these small forms of suffering and training, using them as a training opportunity, then through successfully one or two times being able to use these opportunities to cultivate our compassion for others, then we will generate a strong sense of confidence in our in this practice and in our ability to confront and properly use suffering. So then we will essentially feel that there are no problems. There is no problem whatsoever. Whatever situation we face, we can use it as an opportunity for practice. And as a result, our spiritual resources will become very robust. Whatever happens to us, whether it be breaking up from a relationship or divorce or a business loss, etc., none of these things will present to us as a major problem. We will feel confident in our ability to deal with whatever happens and to maintain a happy approach regardless. So I hope that this is a practice everybody can start to train themselves in.
好，然后第四个啊，这个礼坛、礼食坛的最后一个呢，就是要证悟空行。如果有执着，就不是大乘佛教的见解。那就是说我们要证悟空心啊，证悟空心就不会有执着。那为什么不能有执着呢？因为我们的所有的痛苦都来自于执着，来自于无明，所以我们要有智慧啊。我们刚刚讲了需要有这个慈悲心，然后这个里面就讲我们需要有智慧。我们现在啊看到的这个世界是以我们的感官啊，去这个了解、认识这个世界的。那我们的感官实际上是看不到这个世界的真相，所以我们看到的都是错误的现象啊。那我们需要有智慧，有智慧来看这个世界，才能够看到它的真相啊。所以我们要这个要证悟空心啊，但是这个证悟空心的方法呢，我们因为今天时间的关系，我们就不讲啊，以后会有机会的。
So moving on to the fourth and final line from the teaching on the parting from the four attachments, if there is grasping, you do not have the view. So this fourth line refers to the need for us as practitioners to realize emptiness. And if we realize emptiness, then we no longer experience attachment. And why is it necessary for us to eliminate attachments? The reason for this is that all of our suffering comes from attachment, comes from ignorance. At the moment, the phenomenal world that we perceive it through our sense consciousnesses, through our sense faculties. And as a result, what we perceive is not the reality or the true existence of things, but rather a confused misperception. So it's necessary that we that we perceive reality with wisdom, and in order to do this, we need to realize emptiness. However, due to the fact that we don't have enough time today, we are not going to elaborate on this fourth line.
好，我们现在最后做回向啊。我们今天啊，听可啊，讲经说法、听经闻法的功德，回向给天下所有的众生，愿天下所有的众生啊，能够以我们的功德啊，健康长寿、幸福快乐啊，很快就能够超越生死轮回。
So we are now going to end with a dedication of merit. And in so doing, we pray that all beings, through sharing with them the merit generated through listening to today's teaching, may receive health, long life, happiness, and ultimately freedom and transcendence of the sufferings of samsara.
Sunam de ye damja zambanya domne ni be dana banshe jirga nanje walo jabai jabin zo len jo a jo rsho oma a ho ban zang ge ba ma zo na ho oma a ho
谢谢大家，阿弥陀佛，扎西德勒。